ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம். சதாசிவ சமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. பிரம்மசூத்ராஸ் சாப்டர் 3 பாதா 4. புருஷார்த்தாதிகரணம். புருஷார்த்தா அத்தா சப்தாதிதி பாதராயணஹ சேஷத்வாத் புருஷார்த்தவாதா யதா அன்யேஷு இதி ஜைமினிஹி ஆசார தர்ஷனாத் தஸ்ருதேஹே சமன்வாரம்பணாத் தத்வதோ பிதானாத் நியமாச்சம் அதிக உபதேசாத்து பாதராயணஸ்ய ஏவம் தத்தர்ஷனாத் துல்யம் து தர்ஷனம் அசார்வத்ரிகீம் விபாகஹ சதவத் அத்யயன மாத்ரவதஹ ந அவிசேஷாத் ஸ்துதயே அனுமதிர்வாம் காமகாரேண ச ஏகே உபமர்தஞ்ச ஊர்த்வரேதஹ சுச சப்தேஹி. பராமர்ஷாதிகரணம். பராமர்ஷம் ஜைமினிஹி அச்சோதனா ச அபவததிதிஹி அனுஷ்டேயம் பாதராயணஹ சாம்யஸ்ருதேஹே விதிர்வாதாரணவத். ஸ்துதி மாத்ராதிகரணம். ஸ்துதி மாத்ரம் உபாதானாதிதி சேத் ந அபூர்வத்வாத் பாவசப்தாச்ச பரிப்ளவாதிகரணம். பரிப்ளவார்த்தா இதி சேத் ந விசேஷித்தத்வாத் ததா ச ஏக வாக்யதா உபபந்தாத். அக்னீந்தனாதிதிகரணம். அத ஏவ ச அக்னீந்தனாதி அனபேக்ஷா சர்வாபேக்ஷாதிகரணம். சர்வாபேக்ஷா ச யஜ்ஞாதி ஸ்ருதேஹே அஸ்வவத் சமதமாத்யுபேதா ஸ்யாத் ததாபி து தத்விதேஹே ததங்கதயாம் தேஷாம் அவஶ்ய அனுஷ்டேயத்வாத். சர்வான் அனுமத்யதிகரணம். சர்வான் அனுமதிஸ்ச பிராணாத்யேதர்ஷனாத். We have been seeing this sutra, Sutra 28, 4th Pada, 3rd chapter, 453rd running Brahma Sutra. This and the subsequent 3 sutras, they indicate what kind of food is to be taken. Now let us give a general introduction to this adhikaranam. Here, Vyasacharya analyzes a mantra in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 6th chapter, 1st section, 14th mantra. It's a long mantra, but we will only read the relevant portion. Nahava asya anannam jagdham bhavati na anannam pratigrihitam ya eva metate anasyannam veda. And there is a similar mantra also in Chandogya, in the 5th chapter, 2nd section, 1st mantra. Sahovacha kim kim mennam bhavishyat bhavishyatiti yat kinchati idama swabhya ashukinya iti. There is another section also in Chandogya. So the context here is samashti prana upasana. This we have dealt with in detail during those 2 individual sections also, in earlier occasions also. So samashti prana is Hiranyagarbha upasana, as I had mentioned long ago, emphasizing the prana aspect. And various glories are talked about here. The Vishesha Guna, so it is a Vishesha Guna Vishishta Prana Upasana. The glory of prana is, it is the greatest organ in the individual, prana. To prove the greatness of prana, we also have seen at that time a story was given. And as per that story, it is said that one cannot survive without prana, but can survive with the missing of any of the other organs. We saw the story there, each organ left for a certain time and then the person, nothing happened to him. But the moment the prana gets ready to go out, all the other organs become weak. Then all the other organs, they all collectively pray to prana and they glorify prana. Then prana asks the questions, what is my food? And we discussed this actually in the Brahma Sutra also, in the third chapter, third pada, 18th sutra. So, karyakyanat apurvam. That is the sutra we saw in the third pada, 18th sutra. So, any food consumed by any organ is prana's only. Whatever food is consumed is prana's food only. It was concluded in that place. Karyakyanat apurvam. In that sutra. This applies to all worms, insects, and jivas, for everything. And after presenting prana as eater of all annam, all food, the Upanishad gives the statement that for a prana upasaka, no food becomes prohibited food. He can eat anything. He can take all foods and he can take all unprohibited food also. And all, see, there is no vidhi nisheda. There is no rule about what can be taken, what cannot be taken. Prohibited, uninhibited, all kinds, unprohibited, all food you can take. This is called eating at will. This is the idea conveyed in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad mantra that I just read. And we are going to have a controversy here. Otherwise, it won't be part of Brahma Sutra. This gives a vidhi. That is, prana upasaka should eat everything. Is it a vidhi or is it a statement? Prana upasaka, the moment you say should eat, then it becomes a vidhi. Is it a statement or a vidhi? It's a question. So should we take it as an arthavada or a glorification statement? Whereas Siddhanta says that this vakyam is arthavada vakyam only and do not follow it literally. The niyama of food discipline should be followed. That is, ahara niyama is there. That should be followed. Shastra rule prescribes what to eat, what not to eat. They all will be relaxed if it is taken as vidivakyam, as a rule. So these two are then contradictory. If you accept the rule regarding sarvanna vidhi, that is everything can be eaten, sarvanna, all the food, then it contradicts the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad mantra. If it is arthavada, we will interpret then as glorification of pranopasana. So in glorification, we can tell even if it is not a fact, because it's only glorification. It is not a pramana or it is valid. So arthavada, actually, this also we have mentioned earlier in some other occasion, arthavada is of two types. Namely, one is called nindarthavada and another is stutyarthavada. Nindartha, this one is ninda in the form of criticism. And another one is in the form of stuti, glorification. So, Purvapakshi here claims it is a vidhi, that is, any food can be taken. And we negate their view, and Siddhantin says it is prana upasana, stuti or glorification only. Stuti or prana upasaka. Now, let us see the general analysis of this sutra. This is general introduction of this adhikaranam. So sarvanna anumatischa pranatyaye taddarshanat. That is the sutra. And Vyasacharya gives one argument and Shankaracharya gives another argument. And Shankaracharya says, this vakyam, this statement cannot be a vidhi vakyam at all. To be a vidhi vakyam, there should be a commandment verb, the imperative verb and all we have seen. Imperative mood, all that thing we have seen, mentioned in other occasions. So such a verb is not there. So the verb is simple present tense alone, it is there. Therefore, how can you take it as vidhi vakyam is Shankara's question. And Vyasacharya gives another argument. He says that Shastra gives bhakshya abhakshya niyama. What to be eaten, what not to be eaten, that kind of niyama the Shastra gives. It is particular about the discipline about eating. How you eat, how much you eat, in what manner you eat, all kinds of things, what to eat, all kinds of things. So since there is a niyama in Shastra, sarvana bhakshana vidhi is not there. There is only one rare exception given, which is sarvana bhakshana anumati. It is not a vidhi, but it is an anumati. In exceptional cases, this anumati is given, which is sarvanna bhakshana anumati. So this is, so one may give up the niyama. Here he differentiates vidhi from Anumati. Anumati is permission. On occasion, one may eat anything. That is another thing. On occasions, one may eat anything. And that rare occasion is when there is threat to your own survival. That is the rare occasion. When there is a threat to one's own survival, one can eat any food. Without eating any food, if a person faces death, then one can take any food. Only at that time, the food niyama can be violated. Therefore, prana atyayaha. In the sutra, prana atyayaha is there. Prana atyayaha, threat to life. That is, pranan is about to go. Person will die. Atyayam means leaving the body, death. Here, only permission is given. Only in this place, there is permission given. Hence, the sarvana bhakshana vidhi cannot be permitted. Anumati only is there, which is also for a person in threat of life only. Okay. Then the next question is, where is the pramanam for this? Is our question for this anumati. And Vyasacharya says, we have got an occasion in Chandogya Upanishad, first chapter, 10th section, which reveals this idea. Violation of eating rules when there is threat of life. He refers to mantra, first section, 10th mantra, first chapter, 10th mantra, 10th section of Chandogya. There the Upanishad introduces a prana upasaka. His name is Ushasti. Ushasti is the name. It is called Ushasti Upakhyana. And the episode or anecdote regarding the Ushasti, he is a great Brahmana and a great prana upasaka also. And he meditates upon prana as Ishvara himself. And we discussed the same prana upasana in Brahma Sutra also, in the first chapter, first section, 23rd sutra, Atayeva Pranaha. There is a sutra there, Atayeva Pranaha. Here the upasaka lived in extreme famine, like poverty, famine. There is no food, no rain, nothing. All crops, they all got destroyed. And no food was available. None had food to eat. And this poor Brahmana had no food also. And he goes out to seek food. And in a neighboring village, he found lot of elephant mahouts, the elephant owners. He goes there where they do not maintain any achara and all that. It's not a place very clean for a Brahmana. No achara and all is maintained in that place. And there he asked one person food, which was made of a kind of a black beans of a very inferior quality. And he asks for bhiksha to that person. And that person says, I don't have any food left anywhere. All the food is what is on my plate, which I am eating. So uchishtannam, that is what he had. This should not be shared with others. But the Brahmana asked for bhiksha. So the other man had to give, and so he gave that food. Then the person also gave him uchishta jala. He had water in a some bottle kind of thing, and he had already drank some water, and so he gave portion of that water also to this Brahmana. And this Brahmana tells him, he consumed the food, and this prana upasaka tells him, I don't want uchishta jala. He was willing to take uchishta annam, but he said, I will not take uchishta jala. And then the other person, the elephant, the mahout, he asked him why he cannot take the jalam, because he took the uchishta food. Then the Brahmana says, for food, there is no other source for me. And it is a choiceless situation. But with respect to jalam, I need not violate the rule because the water is available elsewhere. I can go there and drink. And then he wants to share the... Then what he did, okay, he got the food from him and he wants to share the food with his wife. But the wife says, I had already eaten. She has found food somewhere and she ate it herself. And this I will keep it with me for tomorrow. That's what she said. So leftover food is kept for the next day. Not the leftover of the leftover. Is kept for the next day. Then the next day, he takes the same food. So even my own uchishtam, you cannot eat next day. My own, I cannot eat. And there, the bhakshya, abhakshya, vidhi is totally violated. What to be eaten, what not to be eaten, that vidhi is totally violated. Here it is a choiceless situation. Now let us see the word analysis. Sarvanna anumatischa pranatyaye taddarshanat. Cha, anumatischa. Cha means sarvanna. So sarvana anumatihi, permission to eat any food is sarvana anumatihi. Pranatyage, only when there is threat to life. Taddarshanat, so this Shruti declares, the Veda declares. Now let us see the significance of the words. Sarvana anumatihi means all types of food is permitted to eat, anumati. Cha means to differentiate this from the previous adhikaranam that we will talk later. I will mention that a little bit towards the sometime later. And pranatyaye means the departure of prana, otherwise called death. Taddarshanat. Taddarshanat means it is found in this Shruti. Darshanam is Shruti Darshan. So Shruti Pramanam is where Chandogya Upanishad, first chapter, 10th section, Ushasti Brahma, Ushasti Upakya. So it is not direct anumati, it is indicated here through the story. It is not direct permission, but said through a story. Now let us go to the next sutra. Abhadacha. Abhadacha, 29th sutra, 4th pada, 3rd chapter, 454th running Brahma Sutra. So the topic that is commenced in the previous sutra, sutra number 28 of this pada, that is continued here. And here, Vyasacharya says another meaning, which is almost an extension of the previous sutra. So if the Purvapakshi takes the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Vakyam as Vidhi, then it will negate Bhakshya, Abhakshya, Vidhi given elsewhere. What to eat, what not to eat, that Vidhi. Then you will have two Shruti statements contradicting each other, because both are Shruti statements. You should observe Ahara Shuddhi. It is said in the 7th chapter of Chandogya Upanishad, 26th section, 2nd mantra. So it is ahara shuddhi. Ahara shuddhau sattva shuddhihi. Dhruva smritihi. Smriti lambe sarva granthinam, etc. etc. That mantra comes, a long mantra. When nourishment is pure, ahara shuddhihi, nature is pure, the person's nature is pure. When nature of the person is pure, memory becomes firm. When memory is pure, there is release from all knots of the heart, hridaya granthis, all kinds of afflictions and all that. So the food is not only gets converted into body, but also it gets converted into mind. Certain types of food by themselves are impure. They are tamasic foods. There are certain types of food, they are not impure by themselves, and if they are not offered to God, it becomes tamasic. Food by itself may not be impure, but if it is not given to God as naivedyam and it's consumed, then it becomes tamasic food. So first I should offer the food to Ishvara as naivedyam. So a food cooked by someone who does not have achara anushtanam, that is also considered impure. And this is said in Chandogya Upanishad. And so what is the general advice? Avoid eating in all other places like hotels and all that thing. If you can, if one can, one can avoid. And brahmacharya, vanasprastha, and sannyasis, they cannot follow this rule because they have to depend on food cooked by somebody else. They have to take bhiksha from others only. So only grahastha, he can cook for oneself. For them, extra japa is given as duty. They are prayaschitta mantras. If they have to take food, asat parigraha mandala, if they pratigraha mandala, if they take it, that's all prayaschitta. So receiving food from a house where achara is not followed, prayachitta should be done. You cannot ask before taking bhiksha. It is insulting. You cannot ask the person, hey, how did you cook the food? Did you put it with achara and all? Or how did you earn the money to make the food? All those questions you cannot ask them. That is why there is in Sandhya Vandana mantras and all, asat pratigraham, all those things that are prayachittas done during your Sandhya Vandana karma. Because we cannot ask our boss whether the company earned the money in noble means or ignoble means. So all those things, they all come in the picture. So receiving food from a house where achara is not followed, prayachitta should be done. And therefore, ahara shuddhav sattva shuddhi. And only when mind is pure, pure knowledge will enter. And the entered knowledge also will remain. Otherwise, knowledge will not enter, or even if it enters, it will go out of the person. So sarvana bhakshana vidhi, we should not take it as a vidhi. If it is taken as arthavada, it is not powerful to negate bhakshya bhakshya vidhi. So if you want to take it as arthavada glorification, it is not powerful enough to negate the what to be eaten, what not to be eaten, that vidhi it cannot negate. So only when jnanam comes, all the bondage will go. For clear knowledge, clear mind is required. For clear mind, clear food is required. This is the general analysis. Now let us see the word analysis of this sutra, simple sutra, abhadacha. So abhadacha. Since the scriptural food restrictions are not contradicted, our interpretation is valid. That is what his contention is. Now we'll see significance of the words. Abhadat, because of non-contradiction or non-negation, we can say. Only in our interpretation, ahara niyama is not contradicted. Only if you take the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Vakyam as arthavada, it is contradicted. Now let us get the rule of interpretation. How to interpret our rules. When you interpret a Vedic statement, we should see other basic statement is not contradicted, because there should be no internal contradictions among the various Veda mantras. If, for example, there are two vidhis are contradicting, then it should not be said. Hence, the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad statement is not vidhi, it's arthavada. Now the Purvapakshi comes with another argument. And they say, you don't understand my argument clearly at all. I am aware of consistency. Still, I will say this vakyam as vidhi only. I will convince you, he says. You say this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad vakyam is not vidhi, vidhi vakyam, because there is no imperative mode. We already mentioned this. This is your argument, Siddhanta's argument. For that, Purvapakshi says, you have forgotten the Purva Mimamsa Shastram completely. He tells the Siddhanti. We have seen actually in Brahma Sutra earlier, in the third chapter, fourth pada, 20th sutra. Even a statement where vidhi, the commandment, is not there, if certain conditions are fulfilled, one can interpret a non-commandment sentence as vidhi itself. So even a statement where vidhi, commandment, is not there, if certain conditions are fulfilled, one can interpret a non-commandment vakyam as vidhi itself. And that teaching is something unique. You have applied this condition in Skanda Shruti, we have already seen. There was not a commandment, and that we have taken it as a vidhi, imperative mode and all that. So we saw all that thing at that time. So another non-commandment vakyam taken as vidhi vakyam is in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And here also, I read this mantra just a few minutes ago. So here also, even though there is no vidhi, applying Purva Mimamsa principle and also applying the above rule, I can take it as commandment, because it is a unique rule found not any other place. Not in any other place. And his first argument is what? This vakyam can be taken as vidhi. And his next argument we have given is what? It is contradicting another vidhi vakyam in Chandogya. This Brihadaranyaka Upanishad vakyam contradicts another vidhi vakyam in Chandogya. So in one place, that is sarvana bhakshana vidhi is there. And in another place, niyama is given. And therefore, you should not take it as vidhi vakyam. And the Purvapakshi says, we do have contradictory vidhi vakyam existing in Vedas, in other places also. We do manage to reconcile them. And in the same way, why cannot you accept these two vidhis also? When two contradictory vidhis are coexisting, then how do you reconcile them? He says, in the Shastra, there is a vidhi. one should not do himsa, right? There is a vidhi, it's a rule. One should not do himsa, hurt anybody. Violence is prohibited. And in another place, for the sake of performance of one's duty, himsa is allowed. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna to fight the war. He himself gives ahimsa value in several places. Krishna himself gives. He himself says, you fight the war. He says that also. So follow ahimsa and therefore you fight. So one vidhi you take it as general rule, and the second rule you take it as exception under certain conditions. Non-violence is general. Dharma is apavada. It is exception. Apavada means exception. We have already given this meaning sometime in some other context. What is exception? So bhakshya, abhakshya, niyama is general rule, and sarvanna bhakshana vidhi is a special rule for whom? For prana upasaka. Life is a death. I meant danger. So where is the contradiction now? There is no contradiction, and so there is no problem. That is what Vedantin argues. So this vidhi occurs in prana upasana prakaranam, and therefore it is a vidhi, and it should be followed by prana upasaka. Whereas for Arjuna, fight is the rule. Fight is the rule, kshatriya. He has to establish dharma. He has to fight. You cannot take it as general rule and follow what is said to him. We cannot follow what is said to him. Now that he has given the specific condition also, we say there is no vidhi in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Vakyam. It is not a vidhi vakyam, but a converted vidhi vakyam, and it is called kalpita vidhi. There is another term, kalpita vidhi. A vidhi which directly occurs in the Veda is called Shruta vidhi, and an actual vidhi given by Veda itself through an imperative mode, that is such a vidhi from the Shruti itself gives. Kalpita vidhi is that is one where you convert a statement into a vidhi. After introducing a manipulated vidhi, kalpita vidhi, you find yourself in a corner. Who Siddhant enters Purupakshi. You find yourself in a corner because you introduce the manipulated vidhi that contradicts another. You take one vidhi as utsarga and the other as apavada, which is also another manipulation. And for this interpretation, you have to do another manipulation, making your interpretation weak. So this is twisting shastras. And the second dosha is, you can use the utsarga apavada argument when there are two sutra vidhi contradicting each other, both having commandments, both are in imperative mood and all that. You cannot drop any one of them because both are Veda vidhis. They are given the Shruti. You cannot drop any of them. But you should not apply the principle between Shruta Vidhi and Kalpita Vidhi there, which is not directly available in the Shastra. So it is weaker because it's not available in the Shastra. So it cannot even oppose the Shruta Vidhi. Kalpita Vidhi cannot even oppose the Vidhi given by the Shruti, Veda. You should not introduce a Kalpita Vidhi if it is contradicting Shruta Vidhi. So this Vidhi Kalpana, the imaginary Vidhi, itself should not be done. You should not introduce a vidhi if it is contradicting another vidhi from Shruti itself. This is the second argument. And if these are all difficult to understand, Shankaracharya gives one final argument also. He says, I will agree with your argument. Even if it is the case, it is difficult to implement the vidhi. Then people will draw prana upasana itself. If you want to put that, people will drop the prana upasana itself. And he uses sarvanna bhakshanam is prescribed for prana upasaka. Only for a prana upasaka, whatever anything he can take, that vidhi is given to him. So we get the vidhi in the 6th chapter, 1st section, 14th mantra. Prana upasaka should do sarvanna bhakshanam. Nahava asya na asya asya anannam jagdam bhavati. I already read this mantra. Na anannam pratigrihitam ya eva medate anasyanam veda. That is the 6th chapter, 1st mantra, 1st section, 14th mantra. This is from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Nahava evam vidhi kinchana anannam bhavati. This is from Chandogya Upanishad, 5th chapter, 2nd section. So these are all the various mantras. Shankaracharya then asked the question, what do you mean by sarva annam? Sarva annam means what? To arrive at the meaning, you should study the prana upasana prakaranam itself. Sarvanna bhakshanam, for one to understand, they should read the prana upasana prakaranam. There the topic is what? Prana is a glorious principle which resides in all jivarashis. The samashti prana alone takes all the annam, all the food that a person takes is consumed by samashti prana only. Prana takes sarva annam. And the above mantra says that prana takes all the mantras. Prana is within the dog, within the cow, and there are sarva annam means dog food, insect food, pig food, all those things will mean sarva annam. All kinds of food will become sarva annam because it's taken by all living beings. So, and prana upasaka is supposed to take sarva annam. So all the food taken by dogs and cows and animals and insects also, they become sarva annam. And prana upasaka is supposed to take sarva annam. Then it means prana upasaka will have to eat dog food, pig food, insect food and all those also. So even excretion has to be eaten by prana upasaka. It is impossible to take all the food as stated in the above mantra. Sarvanna bhakshana vidhi is incorrect because you cannot follow it. Shastra will not prescribe something that cannot be practiced. Because of these three reasons, it is not a vidhi vakyam. Prana upasaka need not violate the niyama and he should follow the niyama. This is the 29th sutra. This also, I think I'll stop with that sutra. Now, that discussion. Now, let us go to the next sutra. Sutra 30. Api cha smaryate, 30th sutra, 4th pada, 3rd chapter, 455th running Brahma Sutra. We have 100 sutras to cover. And the previous topic is continued here. First, let us do a general analysis of this sutra, api cha smaryate. Sarvanna bhakshanam, that's what the topic now we are discussing. Sarvanna bhakshanam is permitted only in extremely rare instances, which is whether a person is upasaka, prana upasaka or not, and if there is a danger for his life. And for that, pramanam was given from Chandogya Upanishad. We just read that mantra. And that pramanam given was not a direct pramanam. It was inferred through the story that was given. That from the story of the prana upasaka, prana, we derived the pramanam. So it is Shruti pramanam because the story comes in the Upanishad in the Shruti. So it's Shruti Pramana. It is implied rule and it is not a direct rule because it is implied in the story given. And why we should depend upon this implied rule? So Vyasacharya says, I will give you a Smriti Vakyam which gives direct rule that when there is threat to life, Sarvanna Bhakshanam is allowed. So Jivata Atyayana Apannaham Yaham Annamati yataha tataha. This is said in Manusmriti. Manus, when there is threat to life, it may be disease, it can be regular food, no regular food is available, like famine and all that things, so many problems. If it is not available, saucha annam is not available, medhya annam is only available. If I don't consume that, I will not survive. If that is the case, yaha annam asti. Such a person is in very dire circumstances. At that time, he will not bother whether anushtanam is observed or not. He will take annam without bothering anything. Without food, he will not be able to survive. And we should note that this should not be applied in regular cases as a matter of routine. Only in such cases, for a pranopasaka, it is allowed. And Shastra says, Jivita Atyaya Apannaha. Only in extreme cases, you can take exception and not take it as a general rule. Now let us see the word analysis of the sutra. Api cha. Api cha means moreover. Smaryate. Smritis say also. Smritis say. Also smritis confirm. Now let us see the significance of these words. Api cha means moreover. This is an additional argument. That's why it said moreover. This is in addition to the Chandogya Upanishad indirect pramanam revealed through that story that we saw. and smaryate means there is smriti pramanam, and Vyasacharya does not say what is the smriti pramanam, and Shankaracharya, he quoted the manusmriti slokam 10.104, 10 chapter 104 sloka that I just read. Now let us go to the next sutra. Shabdascha ataha akamakare. Shabdascha ataha akamakare. 31st sutra, 4th pada, 3rd chapter, 456th running Brahma Sutra. Here, the previous topic is discussed and concluded. First, let us do the general analysis of this sutra. And we don't have a direct Shruti Pramanam for the rule that you can eat anything when life is in danger. There is no Shruti Pramanam. We just mentioned this revealed through a story. And we have another Shruti Pramanam, which is closer to what we mean. And the Shruti says that you cannot lead a licentious lifestyle, living as you like. That means take liberty to drink and eat anything as you like. Whatever word come out of your mouth, you utter. Just go, whatever you want to speak, you speak. Behave in any manner as you like. It is called yatheshtachara life. Whatever you are ishtam, that you like, you just do it. This has been negated directly by the Shruti. And Shankaracharya quotes, tasmatim brahmanaha suram na pibet. A brahmana, one who wants to be a guna brahmana. We should understand, not just janma brahmana, karma brahmana. Guna brahmana is the highest brahmana. One who wants to be a sadhana chaturtaya sampannaha, an adhikari. And if one wants to pursue spiritual life, then you should not drink. Tasmat brahmanaha suram na pibhet. So even if life in danger, you should not drink. If that is what is said there. Sarvana bhakshanam is not allowed, because drinking also is a bhakshanam, it's a food. Sarvana bhakshanam is not allowed. Also an indirect support only. Now let us see the words and answer this sutra. Shabdascha ataha akamakare. That is the sutra. Cha means moreover, shabdascha. And shabdascha means there are Shruti statements also. In addition, they are there. And akamakare means dealing with the prohibition of licentious life. Kamakare, akamakare. That is doing anything at will. That is prohibited. Ataha. Hence, that is the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad statement is only an arthavada. It's a glorification statement, not a vidhi. So the significance of the words is, you should not be a prakrita purushaha and you should become a samskrita purushaha, a refined person. So lead a life according to various disciplines prescribed in the Vedas. He may love to take liquor, but he should avoid as prescribed by the Vedas. Cha means conjunction. And this is an additional argument. And akamakare means to prevent undue license, prohibiting license as to non-proceeding according to liking, not doing things according to one's own whims and fancies. Take food, etc. After doing all the nitya karmas, don't just take food anytime at will. After doing all your nitya karmas and all that, this is the discipline prescribed in the Vedas. And this is called akamakara. So this is called kamakara, akamakara. Ataha means therefore. So sarvana bhakshanam is not a vidhi. Because of that, sarvana bhakshanam is not a vidhi. You must follow the vidhi. With this, the 31st sutra is also over. And also the 7th adhikaranam is also over. And maybe before we go to the next adhikaranam, let me make some general remarks about this adhikaranam. So while dealing with 28, 29, 30, 31, all these sutras just now. So while dealing with the 28th sutra, we talked about the significance of cha. And I told you at that time, I will slightly discuss it later, if you remember. And there I gave the meaning for cha as however, not and, however. So while mentioning that, also if you remember, I said the word however is to differentiate this with the previous adhikarana. However, whatever was said earlier, so there is a connection is there from the with the previous adhikaranam, but it is not as conjunction and, but it is however. So That at that time I did not tell you what was the reason. So, and I only mentioned I will see it later. Now let me see that. Let me see whether I can just only explain that portion. So the previous adhikaranam was an important adhikaranam where we analyzed the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad mantra from the fourth chapter, fourth section, 22nd mantra. And here we analyzed the Brihadaranyaka mantra from sixth chapter, first section, 14th mantra. I'm only reading those mantras. Already I read those mantras actually. That's no number only I'm reading. So in the previous adhikaranam, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad was taken as vidhi, even though there was no verb indicating commandment. There is no imperative mood and all was there. It was avidhi vakyam only, but we said it can be taken as vidhi. Similarly, in the sixth chapter of Chandogya, again, first section, it was also an avidhi vakyam only. So in the previous adhikaranam, even though it was avidhi vakyam, we said it is a vidhi vakyam. But in the seventh adhikaranam, we argued that the avidhi vakyam should not be converted into vidhi vakyam and it should be retained as avidhi vakyam. That was the discussion we had. Therefore, there is a difference between the two adhikaranas. Then there is a third point also. And we also said the entire fourth pada, if you remember, I mentioned in the beginning itself, the entire fourth pada of third chapter deals with what? It is called sadhana adhyaya, all the sadhanas of Nirguna Brahma Vidya, the direct and indirect Nirguna Brahma Vidya and all we talk about, it's all sadhanas. And here we have taken up the Ahara Niyama or not, that is other one. So we may get a doubt, while dealing with Nirguna Brahma Vidya, why should the sutra suddenly talk about Sarvana Bhakshanam and the Vidya and all that? We are talking about Nirguna Brahma Vidya. So this is Pada Sangati discussion. Actually, if you remember in the beginning, I used to give Sangati and all also I used to tell, but later I stopped because by then we got fairly familiar with those terms. So any topic that we discuss should mix into overall vision of that particular chapter or that entire topic. And our answer is what? Pada is discussing what are the direct and indirect means of self-knowledge, sadhanas. So it's as I told the sadhana adhyaya. So the pada is discussing what are the direct and indirect means of self-knowledge. Direct means we know. Vedanta, Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana is direct means. And what are the indirect means? Indirect means are countless, like karma yoga, upasana. We want to add ahara niyama also into that in the indirect, because it will also indirectly influence the ultimate spiritual knowledge. So it is brought in that context. So ahara, food, influences the body, speech, mind, emotion, and all that. So all the sattvic food, rajasic food, tamasic food, all those we have seen in Bhagavad Gita. So this also comes under Brahma Vidya, Bahiranga Sadhanas. This also comes under that section. It is contributory means for spiritual knowledge. It is contributory. Therefore, it is included in this pada. So this is a small diversion, just only to let you know why we said the meaning for cha is however. Now let us see the next adhikaranam, eighth adhikaranam. Ashrama karma adhikaranam. Vihitatvacham ashrama karma api. So that is a sutra, 32nd sutra, fourth pada, third chapter, 457th Brahma Sutra. So this sutra and the subsequent three sutras, they show who are required to perform sacrifices and do other prescribed duties, all the other Vihita Karmas and that. First, let us see the general introduction to this adhikarana. And this has also four sutras. First, the topic discussed here is dealing with ashrama karmas. What are the karmas in ashramas, various ashramas, brahmacharya ashrama, grihastha ashrama, and all that. It means the compulsory duties prescribed for all the four ashramas, brahmacharya ashrama duties, grihastha ashrama, karmani, vanaprastha ashrama, and then sannyasa ashrama. And the brahmacharya ashrama, that those karmas begin with wearing of the thread, yajnopavita, and grihastha ashrama after marriage. That starts after marriage. So sannyasi also has got certain compulsory karmas, which is indicated by the danda, whatever the stick that he has, danda. And sannyasi removes the sacred thread and he takes to this danda. He has parayanam to be done. And instead of Veda parayanam, he will do Vedanta parayanam, pranava parayanam. He will do Omkara japa. He will do danda tapana. All that thing he will do. He has got various duties as part of his dharma, sannyasa dharma. He has got jnana nishtha. He has freedom to give up even sannyasa dharma karmani, all the initiatives of danda renunciation, and such sannyasis are called avadhuta sannyasis also. So he has duties until jnana is obtained. And these are all known as nityam naimittika karmas for him. So these duties are known as vihita karmani. And they have to be done by all people. And if these are not done, they get papa, pratyavaya, caused by omission of duties, commission and omission. So commission based and omission related papas. And ashrama karmas are compulsory duties, whatever ashrama a person belongs to, grahastha ashrama, vanaprastha, are compulsory duties. And in this, in the sixth adhikaranam, we saw Veda says all compulsory duties can help in gaining spiritual knowledge. All of them can help a person to gain the knowledge. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the duties are all well prescribed. All contribute to spiritual knowledge by purifying the mind. And also sufficient punyam for shravanam opportunities. Because unless a person has done punyam, for him to mumukshutvam, so manushyatvam, mumukshutvam, mahapurish samsraya, they are all durlabham traimevaitat. In Devanaguru Hetukam, that's what Vivekachudamani Acharya said. So even mumukshutvam, all those things, that all gives all these punyas, all those things should be there by anugraha. So if it indirectly, it contributes to jnana. So whoever is interested in moksha, he should perform nitya karmas for gaining moksha. So in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4th chapter 4th section, that gives this idea. And nitya karma is to be done by the seeker of moksha, and those karmas will be called kamya karma. So understand this clearly. Here we can get into confusion. Nitya karma is to be done by the seeker of moksha. So he is moksha kama, the person who wants to gain moksha. And those karmas, they are called kamya karmas. Isn't that kamya karma trying to get this and that? He wants to get moksha. Here, mimamsa ideas are given. And Shankaracharya refers to it repeatedly actually in his bhashya. And once you say the daily nama japa, for example, has to be done by a person if he wants to gain moksha, it means I present, for example, Sandhya Vandana as a means of gaining moksha. That means what? Sandhya Vandana will become what? Become a kamya karma. Because what is the kamya karma here? It is desire for moksha. So once I say everyone should do Sandhya Vandana karma, it will come under nitya karma. And if I say seeker should do it, will become kamya karma. So if I say everybody should do Sandhya Vandanam, then it becomes a nitya karma. I hope this is the subtle difference. I hope you are closely with me. If we say everyone should do Sandhya Vandana karma, then it becomes a nitya karma. And if I say seeker of moksha should do it, it will then become kamya karma. Same karma, nitya karma and kamya karma. Now what is the controversy? Do the ashrama karma come under nitya karma or kamya karma? This includes pancha mahayajnas also. I gave the Sandhyavandana as an example, but pancha mahayajnas also, they all come under the same category. This is because we say both, because nitya karma and kamya karma for the same thing. One Shruti says one should compulsorily do ashrama karma according to Isavasya Upanishad mantra 2 that we have quoted earlier. Kurvanne veha karmani jishi vishechadagam samaha evam tvayi nanyate tosti na karma lipyate nare. So we saw that mantra earlier, always performing the actions. One should wish to live 100 years. You do all your the karmas enjoined in your ashrama. And if you live this life following all that thing, a person, there is no way other than this by which karma or action it's not going to adhere to you. A person, he will become such a great person. And another Upanishad mantra in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, tametam vedanu vachanena brahmana vividishanti yajnana danena tapasa nashakena. This also we have quoted many times. That indicates those seeking moksha should do the ashrama karmas. A person who is seeking moksha should do all the ashrama karmas. Part of our ashrama he is in. So there is a discrepancy. Moksha kamaha ashrama karmani so this is anishtite. So that is a kamya karma. It becomes a person who seeks moksha, the nitya karma of all people becomes kamya karma for him. Now there's a question. Can you treat ashrama karma as both nitya karma and kamya karma? Nitya does not mean daily. As per Mimamsa language, one should be careful. Nitya means normally we say daily. According to Mimamsa language, Nityam here means compulsory. Now the problem is, the Purvapakshi says, they cannot be treated as both Nitya and Kamya, both. Both compulsory and conditional. Because once you name a karma, Kamya means it is to be done by a person who has that desire. That is, one who does not have a desire, he need not perform. Once it is a kamya karma, one who has a desire for that only needs to perform. And for example, putra kamesh yajna, it need not be done by all people. Only those who are kuchela need not do it. He has enough number of children. So kamya karma is, what is that? It is not compulsory. When it becomes compulsory, then it becomes nishkama karma. Whether you have desire or not, you must do the karma. Therefore, nityatvam and kamyatvam status cannot go together. But Veda gives a problem. It gives ashrama karma, nitya karma, ashrama karma is nitya karma in Isavasya Upanishad that we just read. And it says it is kamya karma in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Which one should we take? Because Shruti itself, there are two different versions. Both are in Vedas. What is our answer? The entire adhikarana. The answer is, ashrama karmas enjoy both nitya and kamya status. Ashrama karmas in any ashrama, they enjoy grihastha ashrama, panaprasthan, brahmacharya, all those ashramas, they enjoy both nitya status and kamya status. It is possible for one karma to enjoy both these statuses. Then how can they enjoy both the statuses which are opposed to each other? For that, we still give the answer. If we want, for example, Tattvamasi Mahavakyam itself, we take Tattvamasi. One and the same consciousness can have opposite attributes of Sarvajnyatvam and Alpajnyatvam both. Sarvajnya and Alpajnya both. How do you explain contradiction in one Atma? Tattvam asi mahavakyam, sarvajnyatvam and alpajnyatvam. How in the same atma? How can one atma enjoy jiva status and ishvara status? Tatpadam and tvampadam, created and creator status, how it can? And we say opposite statuses are caused by aupadika vedas, the medium, aupadika vedas. Based on the context of ritual, one and the same karma will occupy opposite status. For example, a Pauranika Upanyasaka, who gives, you know, lot of Upanyasas, he gives his Pauranika based on Puranas. There, what will he say? You have to do daily Sandhya Vandana. And not only that, he will say, if you don't do Sandhya Vandana daily, you will get Papa. And one may do out of fear, because he doesn't want to get Papa. Sandhya Vandana exists to avoid Narakam. They may say, lot of papam means one will go to Narak. There the ritual enjoys nityatvam status because it's compulsory. Otherwise a person will have this papam. Suppose a person, he attends, let us say, all of our Brahma Sutra classes. Here spiritual knowledge is presented. And it is said, if you gain it, you gain moksha. And for that, what you need? Sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, that's what you need that. So Tattva Bodha says you have qualification, and the author of Tattva Bodha does not say how to get the qualification. If you really look at Tattva Bodha, Shankaracharya writes, he says for getting the qualification, sadhana chatushtaya sampatti and all. But he doesn't say how to get the qualification. Here the guru says, do Sandhya Vandana. To get the qualification, you do Sandhya Vandana. Start with that. So the same is presented in two different contexts. For non-mumukshus, people who are not desirer of moksha, naraka bhaya nivrityartham, to get out of the fear of naraka, he does Sandhya Vandana. For knowledge seeker, for people who are like, you know, Vedanta students, it is to gain jnanam and moksha. So the same karma is interpreted here as kamya karma and nitya karma. This has been analyzed in Purva Mimamsa. And in the Purva Mimamsa, they face a similar problem. Whether a karma is nityam or kamya, or whether it is both. So in Purva Mimamsa, there are two vakyams. One vakyam is yavat jivan agnihotram juhoti. Every person, whether he is seeker or not, should perform agnihotra ritual. It's an ashrama karma, krihastha ashrama, as long as he lives. So agnihotra here enjoys nitya status. And also the same Veda says, agnihotram juhuyatim swarga kamaha. One who is desirous of swarga should perform agnihotra. So the very same Agnihotra is prescribed for two different purposes in the Vedas. If one says, I have no desire for heaven, I will introduce Agnihotra cooking as what? I won't say it is for heaven, but I will introduce it as a compulsory duty. And if you don't do it, you will get papa. And Agnihotra will enter his life in the context of Nitya compulsory category. So if he is desirous of Swarga, here also, I will introduce Agnihotra as Kamya status according to the context. So it is because he has Swarga Icha, he has got. So it is contextual distinction of the status, whether it is Nitya status or Kamya status. This is called in Purva Mimamsa by a word, Sanyoga Pratyaktva Nyayaha. Sanyoga Pratyaktva Nyayaha. Samyoga means context or contextual connection. Beda means difference. So in the Swarga desiring person, a person who desires Swarga, Agnihotra Samyoga status exists as Kamya status for a person who desires Swarga. It is a Kamya karma. But in Swarga non-desiring person, a person who doesn't want Swarga, the very same Agnihotra enjoys Nitya status, otherwise we will get Papamata. So in the same way, ashrama karma exists in non-seeker as compulsory duty. And the same for seeker as Kamya Karma. Kamya Swarga. It is done for Chitta Shuddhi, for Jnanam seeker. And we'll see also another example quickly. Suppose a person is invited for a wedding reception. Yeah, these are only common. Of a close relative. But attending, because he has to attend, it's a close relative. He cannot say any excuse. So he has to attend. So he has decided to go also. And he sees the card, the invitation card. And there it is written, during reception, there is some music concert. And attend the concert to attend the reception is compulsory. So one has to attend the concert if he has to go to reception to take food. So the attending has become kamya karma. And another person has come to attend the reception. Attendance is common. In one, it is kamya status. And in another, it is nitya status. And when you do prayer, it is moksha kama, or for other, it's a duty. So when one and the same karma enjoys both the statuses, it is called samyoga pratyaktva nyayaha. Now let us do the general analysis of this sutra. Ashrama karma enjoys nitya status, that is what is said. Because it is said so in the Vedas. But in the next sutra, it enjoys kamya status also because the seeker of moksha is asked to do those karmas. So both are because of the Vedic injunction. Now let us give the words, analysis of the words. Vihitatvacham ashrama karma. Ashrama karma cha. Duties associated with all the four ashramas that should be adhered to, followed. Api, by others also. Vihitatvat, because they are enjoined, they are compulsorily prescribed. Now let us give the significance of the words. Vihitatvat means because it is enjoined for all. Vihitatvat. Cha is conjunction to be joined with the next sutra. Ashrama karma, karmas, compulsory duties. Actually, compulsive duties, I have mentioned some in some other context, there are 41 samskaras, right from garbhadhan and conception up to antyeshti, cremation. Of course, they are not optional. A person has to go through all that. So ashrama refers to those associated with the four states of life, brahmachari, ashrama, and all this. And api means should be taken by others also. A mumukshu api, a person who seeks moksha also. And the significance of api is what? In the previous adhikaranam, sixth adhikaranam, it was said that the duties will produce chitta shuddhi and help knowledge. So if it is said that these duties are meant for moksha prapti, and from this it is clear, whoever wants moksha requires purity. So gain purity first and then go through jnana marga. Whoever wants purity has to do sanyana. Sanyana I'm mentioning sadhana chatushtaya sampatti viveka vairagya and all that. So this person says, moksha I do not need, and I did not do sanyana. I don't want moksha, so I don't need to do sanyana. Many do not want moksha because there are artha kamas, so dharma kamas and all that. Only a few are desirous of moksha and they don't want to do sandhyavandana. When some argues like that, we give a different lecture to that. We have mentioned, done this many times earlier also. So only a few, they are desirous of moksha. So then we say it is a duty if you have to perform, which you have to perform, and if you do not do it, you will get pratyavaya papam and you will go to narakam also. People say all that things in sastra. That is the significance of the word api. Then it gets the name Nitya Karma. We will see more of it maybe in the next class. Yo Vedadau Swara Pro Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakritilinasya Parasamaheshwaraha Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Shri Rubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Shri Krishna Namaste.